This sermon was recorded at Church of the Ascension, an Anglican parish in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, whose mission is to be a worshiping community that equips God's people and shares Christ's healing with a broken world. For more information, please visit ascensionpittsburgh.org.
Would you pray with me? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, please tell us this story that we are here to remember, that we may die with you and be raised to new life. Amen. When we began the season of Lent, we started with Ash Wednesday, which is a day of contradiction. We go and we're told to remember that we are dust, and to dust we shall return, which is a depressing sentiment. But when placed in the bigger story of Scripture, we find from the ashes of Ash Wednesday springs a surprising freedom. In being told that we are fleeting, that we are but dust, and to dust we shall return, we reorient ourselves to the proper place, which is not the center of the universe. We are reminded that we are but dependent children of a loving Father, a good Creator, creatures who need Him for our very life and our very breath. And so, in the depressing message of death on Ash Wednesday, we actually find freedom and maybe even joy. It's a day of contradiction. Today is another such day. As we are at the end of Lent, we find another contradiction. Author and scholar Kate Bowler recently released a book of meditations entitled, Have a Beautiful, Terrible Day. There is perhaps no better day to wish that for somebody than on Good Friday. And we know what she means by that, because the human experience is both beautiful and terrible. Sometimes things are so beautiful, like looking at nature, or a newborn baby, or your friends who are laughing so hard they're crying. We experience things that are so beautiful that they actually cause pain. They make us ache for something that we can't even name. And we also know that sometimes things can be so terrible, so deep and dark. But in the midst of them, we're surprised to see that that's sometimes where God springs up hope and new start and new life. The beautiful and the terrible. And so we are here telling a beautiful and terrible story. It's a story that is so terrible and so devastating that it actually reveals to us what beauty really looks like. When we look at the wounds of Jesus before us and then filter them through a lens of love, because we know why he's on the cross. We know why those wounds are there. They would never have been there had he not submitted to them. It was under his own will that he chose to take that punishment. And so because we know that, we see these terrible, terrible wounds, and yet they become beautiful to us. It's why many of us show up here year after year and subject ourselves to this service, to this story. Because it's our story, and it's beautiful, and it's terrible, and it reorients us to who we really are. We look at the wounds of Jesus also, and when we see the beauty, the inverse then happens as well. Jesus up on the cross for us is so beautiful that he becomes a mirror for us. In light of his goodness and his perfection and the sheer will towards salvation, we look at our own lives, our own acts of even love, and we see that they pale in comparison to the love and the beauty that we're witnessing today. And so in the wounds of Jesus, we see something terrible about ourselves and about the world around us. There is both terrible and beautiful things intermingled throughout the story of the last days of Jesus' life. On Palm Sunday, we raised palms. We gave Jesus a kingly entrance into Jerusalem. It was a moment where there was rejoicing. And yet, for most of us that know the story, we know that that moment with the palms is often intermingled with sadness, because we know why he's there. We know why he's come to Jerusalem. And then last night, we remember the beautiful acts of Jesus for his disciples, where he washed their feet, where he nourished his friends in both body and in soul. He gave us a new commandment of love. And we remember that a terrible betrayal was already in motion. And as Deacon Mark just beautifully told the story, we come and expose ourselves to this terrible pain, to Jesus's wounds, because they tell us the truth, that the terrible and the beautiful are intermingled together. When we look at the cross, at least when I look at the cross on Good Friday, I see Jesus there, and I can imagine the physical wounds that might have been on his body. And those are the wounds that we often focus on. We know that he was struck in the face, that he was physically abused at the hands of the soldiers. We know that he was bruised and bleeding as he carried the cross up the hill. And then, of course, the crucifixion. 3 agonizing hours where the hands that had touched sick people and made them well, that had touched impure people and made them clean, the hands that had held babies and had broken bread to nourish his friends and his enemies, those hands were about to be part of a final act of salvation and healing and restoration when the nails were driven through them. The feet that had carried the good news are rendered immobile on the cross. A broken body struggling to breathe. The living water who is thirsty. The terrible, beautiful wounds that were endured for you and me. And we often think about his physical wounds, but you and I know that there are worse types of wounds to have. The wounds that land on our hearts and our minds and our souls are much deeper. They create much more havoc in our lives sometimes than the ones that land on our skin. Science is showing us more and more how true that is, but we as a race had already intuited that, because we have expressions that talk about emotional pain in physical terms. We now know that when you're rejected, that the same neural pathways light up as when you're struck. And so yes, Jesus bore physical wounds, but he also bore wounds on his very soul for us. I wonder what the cries from the crowd, "Crucify him," did to his soul. I wonder what it was like for him to know that one of his best friends was going to deny him. Not once, not twice, but 3 times. A perfect betrayal. I wonder what it was like to be turned against by his own people. We sometimes quip that Good Friday is an inside job. And yes, the Roman authorities were complicit, but it was his own religious leaders. It was his own people that created this moment, that led him to his execution. And he was stripped, which won't in and of itself leave visible wounds, But being uncovered and vulnerable and exposed against our will strikes at our very dignity and personhood. Jesus was shamed, naked, and mocked, and a parody of his kingship wrapped in purple cloth and a crown of thorns forced down on his head. And the climax of the wounds that we cannot see comes at the end of his time on the cross, when he cries, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus, who has known and enjoyed the love of the Father from eternity, something in that union in this moment is broken. Jesus is forsaken. The prophet Isaiah reminds us, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And by his wounds, we are healed. His terrible, beautiful wounds tell us our own story. Preacher Barbara Brown Taylor writes, I remember being at a retreat once where the leader asked us to think of someone who represented Christ in our lives. When it came time to share our answers, one woman stood up and said, I had to think hard about that one. I kept thinking, who is it who told me the truth about myself so clearly that I wanted to kill him for it? According to John, Jesus died because he told the truth to everyone he met. He was the truth, a perfect mirror in which people saw themselves in God's own light. In his wounds this afternoon, we see our own reflection. We see our own transgressions laid on him for our healing. There's so much that we have done, and the things that we have left undone, that put those wounds onto Jesus. In those wounds, we see the transgressions of the whole world, the full weight of what it is to live in a broken world. And we don't just see our transgressions, we see the transgressions that have come against us. Because if Jesus is dying for me, he's also dying for those who have harmed me, for those who have inflicted and marked me with wounds and scars. They can also be forgiven. But it also means that when those blows landed on me, they also landed on him, and I was not alone. You were not alone. And we see that beauty reflected in his wounds today as well. All the transgressions, all the sin of the whole world laid upon Jesus, the Lamb who is being slain, an innocent, guiltless man, taking on that for us who are anything but innocent. In a little while, we're going to have time to approach the cross, if you would like. You can touch it, you can kneel before it. And as you do so, I invite you to consider the terrible, beautiful wounds of Jesus, the ones he bears in and on his body, that he takes down into the grave so that we can rise up with him into new life. By his beautiful, terrible wounds, we truly have been healed. Amen.